Welcome to Just Friends, the podcast where a husband and wife duo watch Friends for the first time ever. And sometimes they're a little bit drunk. And that's the case with me right now. I'm Becca.
I'm Chris.
And happy Cinco de Mayo.
I had to drive home, so I'm relatively sober.
Relatively.
I mean, sober enough to drive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, drive up in Copaic.
Yeah, you know.
Copaic, New York is in the middle of nowhere. This week is Season 4, Episode 3 of Friends, and of Just Friends, this podcast. This week we watched The One with the Cuffs, which was written by Seth Kurland and directed by our old friend Peter Boners, with a Z.
I mean, is that a real name? Can we find that out?
Probably, if we had more money behind this podcast, we could.
Yeah, we need an intern.
Yeah, kind of like Kramer's intern.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of stuff they could do.
Yeah. They could work for Chris Merica.
Yeah, they can do some research, fetch us drinks, studio setup.
Oh, that's ideal.
Yeah.
Studio setup is crucial.
If you want to apply for our internship, just message me on Instagram.
So the first story this week is actually, you know what? This doesn't end up being the primary story. So this is one of the weeks where they don't really do the stories in order.
Did we say the name of the episode?
Yeah, The One with the Cuffs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Or did we? Well, if
yeah,
not.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay. The first thing I noticed about this episode is that Chandler's hair really transported me back to the 90s, early 2000s. Real, like, big and blonde in all the wrong places.
Blonde?
Yeah, there were, like, blonde highlights in it.
Oh, I didn't notice. I thought it looked like a preppy boy Ken doll Lego man hair.
So did you think it was a wig?
I don't know.
This was like the most wiggish I ever thought that Chandler's hair looked.
I mean, more so than other episodes, it's been like sloppy where it seemed like it was real. This one looked, but you know, like I said, like Lego Ken doll hair. So could have been. Maybe he was just tired of looking all schlubby.
Yeah.
So he demanded a proper,
it's like
a hard, give me a hard wig.
Do you know what Ken dolls look like? That's what I want to look like.
I don't want a single hair moving.
So they open in Joey and Chandler's apartment, and they are trying to like reestablish furniture and everything because they've recently been robbed. That was the last episode, and Joey brings like a bunch of lawn chairs in.
From like the basement of the building or something?
Yeah.
The super...
He was like giving them away.
Yeah.
And he sets them up and Joey's pretty excited about it. And then they sit down in the lawn chairs in their living room and the duck and the chicken come out and Joey's like, you know, this is going pretty well. Chandler's like, could we be any more white trash? Which, that's not when white trash originated, right? They didn't invent that term.
I don't know.
The term dates back to 1821.
I mean, they apparently invented a lot of things.
Yeah, like BFF?
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to research it, but I would guess no.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now you can't say white trash. That's offensive.
Until we can start describing all trash more accurately.
Exactly. All trash should be called out.
All trash matters.
All trash doesn't matter. I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we are in this.
Yeah. So one of the questions I have here is Chandler has been established in the show as rich, and yet he is not doing anything.
Has he been established as rich? I mean, he's got like a decent job. I don't know if he's like rolling in it. He's not like throwing money around.
Well, didn't he like pick up Joey a lot of times? Like, you know,
pick
you don't
him
have,
up.
You know, like you don't have to worry about it or pay for things. Like when Joey, doesn't he pay for everything?
I feel like he's maybe paid for some stuff, but he's also like, you know, complained about how Joey can't pay him back and things.
So he's paying for everything.
Yeah, he has a job and some money coming in, but I don't think they've established that he's like some, you know, finance bro throwing hundreds around all over the place. Like he's just a guy with a decent job.
All right, fine.
Who covers his friend who has sporadic income.
Okay, fine. Anyway, so that's the first story. in this story, and this one, it really doesn't go like that far. Pretty much Penn from Penn and Teller.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, Penn Jillette. Thank you. Good call. He comes and sells Joey Bibles.
Encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias. Who's seen? Back where I came from, they're called Bibles.
Plus, you're selling Bibles. It's like, now you probably already have one Bible, but most homes need five or six.
There's a lot of books in the Bible.
How many times have you been reading your Bible only to have one of your kids come snatch it as soon as you put it down?
No, if you're a Bible salesman, you sell Bibles by the book. Like, that's the thing.
Well, you sell like Genesis,
Job,
Deuteronomy. Yeah. That's other. What are the more ridiculous? I don't remember any of the names of the books.
Me neither.
Cards.
Peter.
Matthew. Psalms.
Yeah, what about the song one? Like the one that's like about banging your lover that they always read at the wedding.
Is that Psalms?
I feel like it's Solomon.
The book of... Oh, man.
I just want to say that Chris went to both a Catholic private school and a Catholic law school.
Yeah, I went to the Catholic high school for 1 year, and I didn't go to church. I took Saturday detention instead of going to church. And that was when I learned what Easter was at prep school.
It wasn't just about rabbits?
Yeah, it's not about rabbits and candy. It's about Jesus coming back to life. It doesn't, you can't say that with a straight face.
No, that's real, though. Okay, anyway. Anyway, I'm a confirmed Catholic.
Anyway, he is risen.
Hallelujah. So then, I mean, that's pretty much it. So, like, Penn is trying to sell him encyclopedias. And there's, like, some jokes that come from that. They're okay. I don't really have much to say about that storyline. I have some notes in here, but they're not very funny.
Oh, no. I mean, they had the flashback thing where he's like, you ever been, you know...
That was really funny, actually.
In a conversation with your friends and just nodding and smiling, but you have no idea what they're talking about. And he's like, And then, you know, he thinks of some moments where they're talking about current events or history or something, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they cut back, and Penn Jillette's like, you haven't said anything for like 2.5 minutes. Are you at all interested in these encyclopedias? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Come on in.
And Joey ends up buying the V encyclopedia because it's the only one that he can afford.
Yeah, he's only got 50 bucks.
Mm-hmm. And it goes for 50 bucks an encyclopedia. 1,000 bucks for the whole set.
1,200. 50 bucks a book.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So then the second story is that Monica gets hired by her mom to do some catering. And she's like, I can't believe I'm taking this job. Like, you know, I hate my mom and my mom hates me. And Ross is like, oh, well, her mom is only hiring you for this because she thinks you can do a good job. And she's like, God, Ross, she's not here. Don't stand up for her, which is good because Ross does seem like a total suck up. So Monica goes back to her house where her parents are like having a party and she's catering. Phoebe is the waitress. Hilarious again, because like Phoebe's, you know, whatever. She doesn't seem like she would be a great waitress. But anyway, Monica's mom's outfit, amazing. Like queen of the suburbs. Did you see it? It was like all that silky silver stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a lovely house dress or something.
Yeah, like she had just woken up, but also very well put together.
Yeah, yeah. It's like between, it's like a nightgown turned into day wear.
That's exactly the kind of stuff that I want to wear. I just want to walk around in that stuff. You know, it feels good. Just like, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's clear that you're not doing any like manual labor. Like, you're not out gardening or any fucking bullshit.
You haven't cooked any of the food. Yeah.
You're just here to have a good time and also live in your nice house.
Yeah, just host.
Yeah. Monica is like really, really happy because she asks her mom, like, why did you hire me to do this job? Monica's mom is like, well, first you did that job like with Richard and it wasn't disgusting. And then also you did that.
She's like, and he's like had rave reviews, but of course you were sleeping with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And then she's like, oh, and then you did that job for a lesbian or something like that.
The lesbian wedding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then she's like, you know, I knew you weren't sleeping with anyone at that thing. And she's like, oh, and they, you know, and they said nice things.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, Monica takes it away like, oh, my God, did you hear that, Phoebe? My mom thinks I'm amazing.
She's like, she hired me because she thinks I'm good.
Yeah. And Phoebe's like, oh, is that what you heard?
Yeah, like, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And, yeah, Monica's, like, all out of it. So.
Yeah, I just wrote, Monica's mom is a bitch.
Yeah.
In my notes. Which, I mean, they do address later.
So, Monica, like, she. What did I write here? Monica Gutfake walks in as a chef. WTF. Last line in the food? Do you know what that means?
I mean, one of her nails fell into the quiches.
Oh, yeah. Monica got fake nails as a chef. Okay, so.
Gut shot as a chef?
So the next plot line is Monica, like, has blue nails on, and her mom, like, calls them out. She's like, blue nails. Well, that's okay. And then Monica, she loses one of her nails, and she realizes it later. And she's like, oh, no, I've lost one of my nails in one of these, like, baby quiches, like, one of these little quiches. And she tells Phoebe, she's like, what am I going to do? And Phoebe's like, you know, it's whatever. Monica immediately goes and tells her mom about this for some reason, even though I feel like the better sitcom plot or the most common sitcom plot would be to
have her hide it.
Yeah, have her hide it. And
dance around it.
Yeah, dance around it. Try to find, like, be grabbing quiches
putting
out of people's mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting for someone to crunch on it.
Yeah.
I was surprised when she immediately told her mom and, like, diffused that whole plot. I mean, I guess they had to get to, they were going for more of a Monica's mom is a bitch. Because then Monica's mom reveals that she had a bet with Monica's father that she would screw it up. And she already had some frozen lasagnas waiting in the freezer.
Yeah, but we already know that Monica's mom is a bitch.
Yeah, I know. Well, they were leaning into it more. That's where they decided to go with
it. Yeah. I mean, I think that I just thought that there was a lot more that they could do there. Like, the whole plot line fell kind of flat for me, and there's a lot of sitcom potential there. You lose a nail in food? That's endless. I've actually never seen lose a nail in food as a sitcom device.
I mean, maybe a nail specifically. I mean, a few people lose, like, Band-Aids from a finger.
Sure.
I feel like I've, I don't know. I mean, this it's something extremely similar. Maybe not very.
But it's not super common.
I don't know. I mean, like, someone losing something in food they're cooking? I feel like this is a very common thing.
Not a nail.
Okay, maybe not a nail. I don't know if that makes all
I'm
the
just
difference.
Saying that it does make a difference. Like, this could be, like, a time when they lean on that. They do some fun stuff with it. And so Monica's mom, like, opens up, like, as Chris alluded to, Monica's mom opens up the fridge and she's like, ah, that's fine because I've got these. Monica's like, what are those? Lasagna? Monica's mom's like, yeah, I knew you would blow it, you stupid bitch.
Like, I knew you'd pull a Monica.
Mm-hmm. Pull a Monica, that's right. So pull a Monica, Monica's mom becomes, or she makes it known that means, like, you know, you fucked up. And Monica, like, really takes that to heart and everything. And she's like, pull a Monica. But then she turns it around. And I actually did not write anything about this.
Well, Phoebe tries to, like, cheer her up and tells her to try and turn around the term Monica. I don't know how she solved the nail thing. I feel like that just, like, didn't become a problem or something. Like, maybe it wasn't in the quiche and it just worked out and no one noticed. That's what I, because it just seems like she was, sitting in her childhood room, like, you know, ruining what had happened. And then she comes back out and everything was
fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed something.
That's kind of how I felt. I was like, I don't know how they resolved that.
Yeah, so I think that maybe the nail wasn't in the food and everything worked out. And
or she didn't serve the baby quiches?
I don't know. But either way, it seemed like everything had worked out. And Monica's mom's like, you actually did a good job.
Ultimately, Monica's mom comes around. That's pretty much it.
Well, that's when Monica's She's like, you know, well, before when you were saying this and that, and you were, you know, you were, she was like, being a bitch. And Monica's mom was like, well, you know, those are your words. So even she realized it.
That's
and
true.
And they had a somewhat touching moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that is pretty much how that ends.
The third plot line, which I do think is the most significant for the episode. Like, it's the main one.
Yeah, I mean, it does occupy a lot of time.
Yeah. So somehow the A plot ended up being the whatever.
The one with the title.
Yeah, well, it ended up being the like C plot. It had the C plot spot. Like, usually they start, I guess Chandler was in the first scene. I don't know enough about TV writing, apparently. So Rachel's boss loves Chandler again. They ran into each other on the street, and Rachel's boss is this, you know, woman with the 90s blonde hair, you know, real mullety looking hair.
It's like a dirty blonde. Yeah.
But like haircut wise.
Oh, yeah. It's a very 90s cut.
Yeah. Chandler is in Rachel's apartment in the morning. Rachel's like, this is weird, even though he's always there in the morning. So it's like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never think about like what time of day it is or why any of them are anywhere. No,
you can't look too much at that in Friends because, you know, your mind will melt.
Yeah. If you try and figure out why they are all at this place at this hour, it doesn't make any sense.
So anyway, Chandler's there and Rachel's like, what are you doing here in the morning? He's like, well, you know, you and your boss and I, like, we met again. And she's like, what? And he's like, and then things, like, you know, went well. And she's like, what? And then, you know, Rachel's boss walks out of the bedroom. And
yeah, she's like, hi, Rachel. And Joy makes some, you know, squeaking sex jokes.
And the crowd goes wild.
Oh, yeah, they loved the first one.
They were like, yes, sex noises. He crushed it. That's what a bed sounds like.
I know what that means.
And Rachel's like, oh, the last time this happened, I almost got fired. You need to end it. Which is, again, like sitcom hijinks. Wouldn't you, as the person who almost got fired, be like, you can never end this. Like, this is it. Now you're in a relationship with this person.
I mean, maybe, either way.
I mean, I'm trying to think, if my friend was dating my boss, what would happen? I can't even imagine.
I mean, for a second time, you know, who knows?
My friend dating my boss for a second time? Oh, I see. Yeah, what you're saying. I was trying to think, have I had a friend who's dated my boss before? Anyway, so Chandler gets in real deep. This is like the meat of the episode. And Chandler ends up handcuffed in Rachel's boss's office.
Well, he tries to break up with her and she, you know, doesn't accept it. And they end up canoodling in her office.
Canoodling.
Yeah, it was canoodling. That was like textbook canoodling.
I think that's a little more than canoodling.
What? How
what
so?
What do you think canoodling is?
They were just sitting on the chair smooching. I mean, they'd clearly just banged or something.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but in what we saw was canoodling.
Oh, yeah. What we saw was canoodling of highest order. I don't know about that.
Top tier.
I mean, I would say normal tier canoodling.
Well, whatever. It was canoodling nonetheless.
Yeah, so they were canoodling. They had clearly just banged because Chandler was wearing like a...
His button up and no pants.
Boxers.
Yeah, no pants.
Yeah, which is a clear TV context for having banged. And she was like, you need to stay here. She has a beautiful, by the way, like that mid-Atlantic voice, you know, like the radio voice, the old TV voice. She has like a perfect accent. She's like, you need to stay here, Chandler.
I don't remember that.
Well, she can do it better than I can, but yeah.
I don't know if she was doing that.
Yes, she was.
You need to stay here, Chandler.
Well, she's not doing it, Jimmy.
That's what you suggested.
No, she's like, you need to stay here, Chandler. You know, like old TV personalities. Like someone reading the news from the 60s. That's what she sounded like. Rachel and her coworker walk in and they see Chandler, you know, handcuffed there. And they're like, ooh. And then Rachel goes back in later to help him and then realizes she can't help him. And then that is all sorts of sitcom hijinks.
I mean, it was all pretty funny. I liked...
I really liked this part, too.
When they first found him in there, they left him. But then Rachel's boss doesn't come back for a while, and Chandler gets desperate, and he calls out to Rachel's desk, and then she finally answers, and she goes, "What?" And he goes, "Rachel, can you?" Because like I thought,
which was so insulting.
It was so funny.
Yeah, he's like, "Rachel, can you come in?" That.
Like, "I'd like to see you for a minute." It was
"I'd like to see you for a minute." Like, he's the boss.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, of course it's insulting, but you know, it's supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm. So, would you have helped Chandler in that scenario?
If I were Rachel,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
What? Why not?
Well, I mean, she's right. He did get himself into that scenario. And also, like, I'm not willing to risk my job for some stupid fucking man who, like, was just there to bang my boss when I told him not to do this.
What? You just say, like, he was in there screaming. We had to get him out. So handcuffed
That's him. Someone else's problem. If he's in there screaming, like, they can call the cops.
What? No. That's insane.
Well, then, he shouldn't be in there screaming. He should just be in there suffering silently. So, men,
you would have more leverage over your boss than your boss over you.
Blackmail. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, they're seeing it's a win-win. You help, you get him out.
No, I mean, I still take a picture. I don't help him. I take a picture and then that's it.
No,
you wouldn't. Oh, I see. But then I have to release him in order to make the blackmail effective. I see what you're saying. I don't know. I got to think about this. It's so rare that I have female bosses. I never really get this opportunity.
I mean, it's immaterial whether the boss is female or not.
So would you help a female who was in the room handcuffed?
Sure. If there was someone handcuffed in a room, I would let them out.
I would actually help a woman far before I would help a man. Okay. So, anyway, Rachel, she like handcuffs him to the drawer and everything.
Well, they get into like a fight mm-hmm. over whether or not he's going to be locked up again so that she can restage it. And then as they're fighting, kind of slaps mm-hmm. the handcuffs onto the top.
Yeah, because she's like, she can't let you know that I freed you.
Yeah, so he's stuck to a file cabinet then.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, now she'll know. He's like, at least give me back my pants. And Rachel, she's really struggling here. And she's doing a great job. I do think she's laughing.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know. She's like covering her mouth and everything a lot. It's really funny. This is a very funny scene. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. All of the office stuff was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Me too. And I'm a Friends hater, as you all know. And Chris even more so, actually.
Yeah. No, I thought I thought this episode overall was pretty, it had lots of good moments.
It does feel like Friends in general is coming like more into itself.
Yeah. And there was no Ross.
Yeah. Fuck Ross.
There was really like no Ross.
Yeah. I think that's the secret.
Get him out of there.
This is why they asked in Futurama, why doesn't Ross it's the opposite. Why doesn't Ross eat all the other friends? It should be the opposite. Why don't all the other friends take over Ross?
Yeah, eat Ross. Grow stronger.
Oh, yeah. So this is a line that I really liked. So Chandler, when he's still handcuffed in the chair, Rachel's like, oh, you can't get out of this? He's like, you must have me confused with the amazing Chandler.
Yeah, there are a lot of good lines in that whole scene.
So Chandler begging, he can't get out, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, he gets free. I don't know how that happens. I don't have that written down.
No, yet. Well, they come to the agreement where Rachel agrees to say that he, she saw and he's packing heat.
Mm-hmm.
And he agrees that as long as she tells all of their friends that he's well endowed, that, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. So I remember thinking this. I was like, why is Rachel offering things to Chandler?
Oh, to have him stay. So he must have stayed.
Oh, right. In the wrong spot, though.
No, then he agrees to go back to the normal spot. And okay. Just waits there. Yeah.
So, right. Rachel tells all, agrees. And then she goes and tells, like, Phoebe and Monica, presumably, that Chandler is well endowed. And they're in the coffee shop in the next scene, and Chandler like bends down, kisses Rachel on the forehead, and is like, "I love you," which maybe was part of the agreement.
Oh no! Well, he walks into the coffee shop, and all Monica and Phoebe are like, "Hi, Chandler." Like, you know, like they clearly have been told that. Like that's,
okay.
And then when he hears that and he's all, you know, proud, mm-hmm. and then he bends over and kisses her on the forehead. And says,
yeah. And Ross and Joey are like, "Oh, what's going on?" And Phoebe whispers to them. And Joey's like, "No, he's not."
He's like, "Well, that lasted all of 2 hours."
But to be fair, what would Joey know? That's what I would say if I were a man. Because, like, has Joey seen him fully erect? He could be a shower.
I mean, neither would or a grower. Rachel have. I mean, he wasn't like rocking a boner the whole time he was in the office.
He could easily be rocking a boner in handcuffs, though. Like, that's plausible. Like, she walks in there and he's like rock hard waiting for the boss to come back.
So that's what she tells everyone? That's not good.
Yeah, that is weird.
No, that's super weird. No, that's not what happened.
Yeah. Okay.
He'd been in there for hours. I walk in.
Don't... So, wait. So then she was committing to tell everyone that his soft dick is hard? Or
no,
is big?
Big. Yes.
That's what guys are, like, into? That's what they're, like, proud of? Is their soft dicks are hard?
Big. And just...
Oh, sorry.
How you present. I don't know.
I'm asking you as a man.
I don't care. I'm not worried. I don't worry. I'm not making deals with women to describe my dick in favorable terms to people.
I'm just wondering, do guys care if their soft dick is big?
I'm sure lots of them do. In all situations.
I had no idea. I thought guys only cared if their hard dick was big.
I mean, if you had like a little acorn penis and then like a slightly larger than average erect penis, I feel like people would, because then you're still like locker room stuff, you're going to still be ridiculed and have a hard time.
Oh,
with it.
Yeah, probably exclusively. Oh, man. Hmm. Sure, sure. I see it. I've learned a lot today. Thank you. And that's pretty much it.
Well, then when he does walk into the coffee shop, Rachel is like, "Oh, and you finally broke up with Joanna, Rachel's boss?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I definitely did it this time." And then the credit scene, it shows Rachel's boss calls her, Rachel, into the office, and she sees that Joanna's been handcuffed to the chair.
Yeah, and she's
in like a nightgown sort of thing.
"Well, this time you need to tell Chandler that I'm being locked here."
I don't remember this accent at all. But yeah, clearly Chandler had locked her and left her there, and that was the way he finally got out of it. And I think that's it for plot stuff. We ready for Friends news?
Friends news.
Okay. Anyone who's been a fan of the TV show Friends knows that every show starts with the words "the one," like the one with the
cuffs. Whatever.
Yeah, the one with the cuffs. Well, this is the one where Monica and Rachel's apartment is actually a house. Rachel Gannon, owner of Friends House in Texas, or Dayton, Ohio.
What is Friends House?
So they modeled their house after the Friends set, and they've been Airbnb-ing it. Anyway, it's on sale for $162,000 in Dayton, Ohio. So there's so many little Easter eggs that you can explore in the house. And also, this episode is sponsored by Friends House, Dayton, Ohio.
Sponsored by a private residence? Yeah. So $160,000 house? I don't know if they got sponsorship money.
You only have a week or two to stay in this house. That's how much longer it will be on Airbnb. So if you want to stay in a Friends-themed house in Dayton, Ohio, and I hear that there's plenty of things to do in Dayton.
So what does... Is each room, like...
Yes.
Dressed up like different parts of the show?
That's what it sounds like. There are not many pictures in this. Actually, there are pictures, and it's not great.
No, this is so much worse than I thought it would be. I mean, it looks like it might be a nice Airbnb, but this isn't.
Well, I'm sure it's the best Airbnb in Dayton.
This is Friends themed? I don't really get the. It's lightly Friends themed, I would say.
Yeah. It's a. I would say the Friends theme is weird.
I don't know if I would have noticed.
Yeah. I mean, what's up with this race bed, yeah, race car bedroom? So they have like Joey's race car bed, but it is in the middle of what I think is an attic that's painted purple.
Joey has a race car bed?
Doesn't he in the beginning?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Oh, this is actually not bad. Their kitchen is pretty close to that, like open kitchen.
I mean, yeah, it's got the clear, but their mm-hmm. kitchen is so much more chaotic, and it's not like orderly plates and stuff inside the glass.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Friends themes go, not bad, I would say.
No, I would say bad.
Yeah, loosely Friends themed.
Yeah, like it's maybe more Friends-like than most homes, but I don't know. I have no plans to go to Dayton.
And stay there in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone, that Chris is such a snob.
Snob? You were bad-mouthing Dayton.
Oh, I fucking hate all of Ohio.
All right, are we ready for Friends trivia?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Friends trivia.
All right.
In honor of Joey buying the V encyclopedia, we are doing the letter V history. So, the root of the letter V is the Semitic letter wa, the Greek letter upsilon, the Latin letter via, or the Etruscan letter num.
The Greek letter upsilon.
No, it's actually the Semitic letter wa.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I still don't even know what that is telling me, but I'll accept it.
Mm. One down. Vanessa Williams, another V.
Yeah, I got it.
Was forced to resign as Miss America in 1981, 1984, 1986, or 1989.
1986.
1984. Ooh.
I mean, I knew that happened.
Yeah.
Why did she have to resign? With nude
stuff? She had been in Penthouse. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's not Miss America. Yeah, I know.
No one figured it out before that.
I know. And also, she went on to become super famous. So it's like they really blew it. Like, she might be one of the most famous Miss Americas that there was.
True. I don't know who any others would be.
Exactly. The vacancy rate in from apartments in Manhattan.
No hard fees.
In February 22 was, and this is rounded, 9%, 15%, 20%, or 1%.
Was it 9, 15, 20, or 1?
Yep.
20%.
1.
1?
1%.
February what?
2022.
Oh, yeah, I guess people would come back.
Mm-hmm. 0, 4, 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking of 2020. I mean, I wonder what, do you know what the peak vacancy? I don't even know if they track, if they can track it so granularly.
I thought I saw it got up to like 10% or 9 maybe. I think that might have been why I wrote 9%, because it was like the peak during the pandemic.
Well, they're all back now.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Manhattan.
Getting crazy rent increases from their COVID deals.
Well, that's it. Once again, I win Friends trivia. Crushing it.
It's not how it works.
Yes, hosts, it is.
Hosts don't win.
House always wins. The house always wins.
And yet you get nothing.
Pride. Look at this pride. I got pride tattooed on my arm.
For those listening at home, she does not.
I'm getting it tonight. In Copaic. Nighttime tattoo.
I don't even know if you can get a daytime tattoo here.
I don't think so. I mean, I can find a place.
Or if you could find someone who could give you a daytime mm-hmm. tattoo. I don't know if you can go to a tattoo parlor.
That's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a nighttime tattoo.
Just need some... A prison tattoo?
It's not going to be prison. I'm not in prison. I'm free.
Prison style tattoo.
Call it what you want.
Prison style tattoo.
You've always been an asshole. Judgmental. Of my lifestyle.
Thank you.
Anyway, you can find us on just.friends.podcast, where we will post when...
On Instagram.
When it's time for us to have another episode on whatever schedule that Chris wants to do that on.
Yeah. I mean, we've been all over the place lately. It's been... April was very busy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And May is half busy.
I went to Vermont. You know, so a lot of things are happening in my life.
I mean, I was in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Sweden next month, so...
Yeah, so, you know, we'll crank them out when we can. Tell your friends.